Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17. God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation to have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Hail, sovereign love, that first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail, matchless, free, eternal grace, that gave my soul a hiding place. Against the God that rules the sky, I fought with hands uplifted high, despised his rich abounding grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. Enwrapped in thick Egyptian night, and fond of darkness more than light, madly I ran the sinful race, secure without hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran, Almighty love, arrest that man. I felt the arrows of distress, and found I had no hiding place. Indignant justice stood in view. To Sinai's fiery mount I flew. But justice cried with frowning face, This mountain is no hiding place. Ere long a heavenly voice I heard, and mercy's angel form appeared. She led me on with gentle pace, to Jesus as my hiding place. Should storms of thundering vengeance roll and shake this earth from pole to pole, no flaming bolt shall daunt my face, for Jesus is my hiding place. A few more rolling suns at most will land me safe on Canaan's coast, where I shall sing the song of grace and see my glorious hiding place. We have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. My subject this evening is Christ, our refuge. These words of the apostle tell us that every man, woman, child who has been truly born again, who believes the gospel, who has been taught of God, everyone who comes to God, everyone who enjoys God's salvation, has fled to Jesus Christ as the refuge of his soul. I pray that God the Holy Spirit will enable me to speak clearly and powerfully to your hearts this evening, so that each of you may know what it is to flee to Jesus Christ for the refuge of your souls, so that you who are the children of God may flee continually and use Jesus Christ our Lord in this blessed capacity which he has for us as a refuge for our souls. When Joshua and the children of Israel crossed over the river Jordan and took possession of the land of Canaan as God had promised that they would, they divided the land of promise according to the tribes of the children of Israel and set up the tabernacle of God at Shiloh. And having done these things, the Lord spake to Joshua, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. Now these cities of refuge, like everything else in the Old Testament economy, like everything else under the law, pointed to Christ. They were typical of him. They were pictures of our Lord Christ. These cities were appointed for men who were guilty of manslaughter, so that those who had slain a man without presumption, without the idea of premeditation, who had slain a man somewhat by accident, as we would call it, might flee and be free from the avenger of blood. They might flee to the city, and as long as they were within the city, then the avenger of blood could lay nothing upon them, could do them no harms, and their life was spared. And so it is that Christ is appointed by God as a refuge for poor, guilty, condemned, hell-deserving, helpless sinners, so that those who are condemned by God's law might flee to Jesus Christ and there be safe from the justice of God, which God himself must pour out upon men to avenge his holiness and his holy law. Oh, I would to God that even now, while sinners hear my voice, you might be aware that you're guilty before God. God's law condemns you. You stand accused, condemned, and your soul is under the condemnation of almighty wrath. And if God Almighty lays his hands upon you before you get to Jesus Christ our Lord and find refuge for your soul, you will be forever miserable, undone, lost, and ruined in an eternal torment of hell. I bid you, my friend, flee to Jesus Christ. Oh, that God would enable you to flee even now to Jesus Christ, our blessed refuge, that one who is a hiding place for our souls. Many of you have long used the Lord Jesus Christ as the refuge of your souls. You are such as the apostle describes, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before you. To you belongs the strong consolation of God's decree and of God's oath, in which he cannot lie. Our souls are greatly comforted in our refuge. That one who is our hope is also our refuge, and he is Jesus Christ the Lord. We find refuge in the person and work of the Son of God, and we flee to him, and by faith we lay hold of him, and he is ours, and we are his. We lay hold of him for the promises of that which is to come. He is the hope laid up for us in heaven. He is set before us in the gospel as the anchor of our souls, and we flee to him daily as a refuge to shield and protect us. He is our high tower, and every day we find safety in him. The Lord God of all grace and mercy has set forth his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a refuge for guilty sinners, and all true believers flee to Christ as their refuge. As we look at this subject this evening, I want to raise a few questions, and I hope that the Lord will enable me to be clear as I try to give you the answers to these questions from the Scriptures. First of all, I want us to consider why we need Christ as our refuge. Why do we need such a refuge as Jesus Christ is? Now, a refuge is something that someone needs in a time of great distress, in a time of great trouble, or in a time of great danger. Sometimes we take refuge in our friends. A young child takes refuge in his father. A father takes refuge in his family. A mother takes refuge in her husband. We take refuge in our friends. We take refuge in our loved ones. Sometimes when we're in a time of great danger, we will take refuge in some certain place. Joab attempted to take refuge by laying hold upon the horns of the altar. But we should take refuge, my dear friends, in that one who is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our high tower, our walled city, our strong castle, who is our shield and our defense, a buckler and a shield around us to defend us on every side and to uphold us and maintain us. Jesus Christ is our refuge, and we flee to him as such and make use of him as such. But if Jesus Christ is such a refuge, then there certainly must be some definite reasons as to why we would use him as a refuge for our souls. I tell you that every sinner, every son of Adam, every man, woman, and child upon this earth needs Jesus Christ as a refuge because of their guilt as a result of sin. Because of their guilt as a result of sin. Listen to the Scriptures. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty, guilty, guilty before God, guilty before him. You men and women, you children, those babes that you hold in your arms, all men without exception, guilty before God, guilty by reason of sin. God created man holy and upright upon the earth, and placed him in the garden, and surrounded him with an environment of everything that would tend to give man reason whereby to obey God, to love God, and to stand before God in the uprightness of his original creation. But Adam, being the first man, sought out many inventions. We soon rebelled against God, and in our father Adam, we all sinned. We all sinned in him. I want you to turn over to the book of Romans. I want you to read this. It's a passage we're all familiar with, but I want to read it to you. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many
were made sinners. That word made is a word of legality. It means that many were legally constituted and declared to be sinners. In Adam, we all sinned. So men are born on this earth sinners before a holy and righteous God, guilty of sin, transgression, of iniquity, of every evil kind. But that's not all. Not only do we sin by nature, not only are we sinners because of the sin of our father Adam, but every one of us are sinners by our own deliberate choice. By our own choice. We came forth from the womb speaking lies, and we haven't stopped yet. We haven't stopped yet. We stand before God as men and women who have read God's law. God's law being implanted in our own hearts by nature, written there with the pen of God in creation. We stand before God as those who know His law, and yet we have broken His law deliberately. We have broken His law at every point. We have not ceased ever to break God's law. Oh, how we have broken the commandments against our God. We take the name of the Lord God in vain. We've used it as a word by which to seal our oaths. We've used it in profanity. We've used it lightly. We now just make it a common expression, and men forever speak, "O God," and vainly do they curse Him. We've sinned against our neighbor. Our hearts are full of lust and evil and every wicked work. But it's not that we did it just once or twice, but in the days of our youth, we sinned against Him. As we were young men, we sinned against Him. As we grew to be older men, we continued to sin against Him. And you who have gray hairs upon your head, you continue this day to sin against God. Even though we have been born again by God's Spirit, washed in the blood of Christ, even though we have been given the presence of God Himself in our hearts, yet continually, day by day, everything we do is marred with sin. Everything. Our praying, it's sinful. That's right. Our worship, it's so mixed with sin. My preaching's got so much sin in it. Everything we do is mixed with sin. And so we stand before God guilty, and we need a refuge so that the guilt might be removed and placed upon Him and are sheltered from the wrath that must come because of that guilt. We need a refuge because we're guilty sinners. More than that, the children of God, we need a refuge in the times of great temptation that come upon us. The world, the flesh, and the devil are ever so busy to lure our souls away from God and duty to sin and folly. Ever so busy. Satan is forever tempting us. Tempting us to leave our faith. Tempting us to leave our God. And temptations come upon us and they seem to be strong. We realize that we're so weak and so prone to evil. So prone to wander from the Lord our God. But I tell you that in our greatest temptations, we have a refuge. Oh, we dare not seek a refuge in our own selves, in anything in us in times of temptation. We haven't any strength and we haven't any wisdom to resist temptation. We go out against our temptations like David went out against Goliath in the name of the Lord God of hosts. And our God tells us that there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Oh, I bless God that He's faithful. Though we believe not, yet He cannot deny Himself. He's faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. When I was converted, I was just a young man. I was almost 17. And I soon read that verse of Scripture and I committed to memory. And it's been a verse of Scripture that has turned me full often to my refuge in time of temptation. When it seemed, "Oh Lord God, surely I will fall at the hands of Satan." He says He's faithful. He says, "I prayed for you that your faith fail not." And He's a refuge in a time of temptation. We need a refuge because of the many trials and troubles that come upon us. Sufficient is each day for the trouble of it. And in those troubles, many times parents and friends and even teachers and pastors are not much of a refuge. They are but poor refuges indeed. But we have a strong, safe, and confident refuge in whom we trust. All the troubles come upon us. Those difficulties that come upon us that we can't share with anyone. Those things that seem that they will surely crush our souls. Well, we read in the Scriptures, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. When we're in trouble, we flee to our refuge, and we find mercy, and we find grace, and blessed be God, we find help. We find help. When we have need of refuge also, because of the dangers that we face every day. Turn back to the Psalms. I read this verse to your pastor earlier this afternoon. Psalm 56, verse 3. You know, a lot of times we think that there's something wrong, unmanly, about being fearful. And that's not the case. I believe David was a man. I believe he was a prince of a man. I believe he was 100% man. But David was sometimes fearful. And if we're honest, we'll have to confess that there are things that just make us afraid. We're afraid of our enemies. We're afraid of the wicked. We're afraid of what's happening in our country. Listen to this. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Fear without cowardice. Fear with faith. What time I'm afraid, I'll trust my God. No matter what the danger, no matter what the evil, I'll continue trusting Him. And His fixed omnipotence will cause my heart that is fixed upon Him to be confident toward Him. Listen again. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in thee. Look at Job. He received those evil tidings time and time again. One remaineth to come and bring evil tidings to Job. But his heart is fixed upon Jehovah, and Jehovah is the object of his trust. He's his refuge in a time of danger. What will you do in the day of visitation and in desolation which shall come from far? To whom will you flee for help, and where will you leave your glory? We need a refuge. Our text shows us that Christ is a refuge. It shows our great need of Him as well. But I want you to consider what kind of refuge the Lord Jesus Christ is. Turn back to the book of Joshua, chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20. I want you to get your pen out. I want to show you that these cities of refuge, each one of them shows us plainly a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of them gives us a clear representation of Jesus Christ as our refuge. Joshua chapter 20 and verse 7. You see that one of the cities was named Kadesh. And that term Kadesh means holy. It means holy. Now Jesus Christ is the holy God, perfect in holiness. Jesus Christ, the God-man, is perfect in holiness, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He's holy as the God-man. And more than that, He is holiness to us, for in Him we have sanctification. Of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. He's our holiness. What holiness do we have? The kind we have in our refuge. In our refuge, we're holy, for the refuge is holy. Again, the word Shechem means a shoulder. Shoulder. The Lord Jesus Christ, being the infinite God, the God-man, is able upon His shoulders to bear the weight of our sins and the weight of God's wrath and to bear it away. His name is a shoulder, because you see, upon His shoulder is the government of all the universe. He's the strong and mighty one who is a shoulder to uphold the world, who upholds all things by word of His power. The name Hebron, it means fellowship. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, wicked, hell-deserving sinners, having a mediator such as the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who is the only mediator between God and man, have fellowship with God. And truly our fellowship is with His Son. One with another, we have fellowship with the eternal God because we're reconciled to Him. The name Bezer signifies a fortified place. The Lord Jesus Christ, we're told, in our high tower, He's our place of defense. He is that one which the righteous flee, and in Him they are safe. The name Ramoth is a name that suggests exalted or exaltation. And Jesus Christ is exalted to the right hand of the majesty on high. He is exalted there with power and dominion and glory. He is exalted there to rule and reign until His enemies are made His footstool. He's exalted there to exalt all who flee to Him for refuge. He's exalted. The name Golan may be translated manifested. And we read concerning our Lord, God was manifest in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ was manifest upon this earth, He being God in the passage that our brother read earlier. He made Himself to be God. And that's the reason they crucified Him. He made Himself to be God because He was equal with God and He was God. He was the Son of God Almighty. And He came and manifested Himself as God Almighty, yet manifesting human flesh. And the Lord Jesus Christ is manifest to our hearts by faith. The Holy Spirit reveals unto us and manifest unto Him that He is all that we need. And someday soon He shall be revealed from heaven, and the Prince of Glory, our refuge, shall be manifest unto all men, manifest in His glory. As each of these cities of refuge were appointed by God, even so the Lord Jesus Christ is a refuge appointed by God. In the covenant and counsel of grace before all worlds, Jesus Christ was appointed and set up by Almighty God to be the refuge of guilty sinners, that one to whom guilty sinners could flee and have life and safety. The Lord Jesus Christ was appointed by God to be the refuge of His people in all of His offices. He was appointed to be our prophet because we were ignorant and He would teach us the mind and will of God. He's appointed to be our priest because we are sinful and we need one to take away our sins. He's appointed to be our king, to rule and reign over us. And in all His offices, He's the refuge of guilty sinners. He was appointed by God to be our refuge in all things. He is our refuge, and in Him we have life. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you want wisdom? Flee to Christ, the refuge, for His name is wisdom. Do you want righteousness? Flee to Him. He is Jehovah, our righteousness. Do you want sanctification? Flee to Him. In Him we have sanctification. Do you need redemption? Flee to Him. In Him we have redemption. The Lord Jesus Christ is also an able refuge. Men very frequently flee to refuges that cannot help them. Refuges of lies, false refuges. Ephraim fled to Assyria. Joab fled to the horns of the altar. But we flee to Christ, who is an almighty refuge. Listen to the words of our God. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Listen to the scriptures. He is able to help them that are tempted. He is able to save unto the uttermost them that come unto God by Him. Oh, blessed be God. That one who is our refuge in the right arm of God's power. He is able to acquit from sin, to put away all iniquity. He is able to supply every need, able to give us life everlasting. He is able to bring us into Himself in eternal glory. He is able to secure us from all danger. He is able to support us in weakness. He is able to supply those things that we need both in time and in eternity. Moreover, the Lord Jesus Christ is an accessible refuge. Oh, the way to the cities of refuge had to be kept open and clear. They were placed in such locations that any man in Israel, from any place in Israel, could get to one of those cities of refuge within a half day's journey. Because the time would come upon him if he slayed a man, that the avenger of blood would quickly be after him, and he could go quickly to any city of refuge. Now, there were many things that lay in the way that had to be cleared up before we could get to Christ our refuge. There lay our sins. Oh, the multitude of them. the great evil of them. There lay the mountain of our sins, and he's removed the mountain into the midst of the sea. There lay the justice of God, and he's caused that justice to be fully satisfied. There lay God's offended holiness, and he's satisfied God's holiness. He's upheld his holiness. He's maintained his holiness. The Lord Jesus Christ came upon this earth to remove all those things that stood in our way. And there stood there the prince of darkness, that evil one, that wicked one. He lay in the way to stop us in the way, to blind our eyes, to bind our hearts, bind our hands and feet to all manner of evil. The Lord Jesus Christ comes, and just before his death, he says, now is the prince of this world cast out. Now he's cast out, so he has no more power over us. No more power to deceive the children of God. No more power to bring in unto condemnation. But he's bound, and he's bound by the arm and might of our Lord's power. He's taken away all things to hinder us. The Lord Jesus Christ, our refuge, is near us all. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. I tell you that Jesus Christ is a refuge for all people. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that is here come. And let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. The cities of refuge were not just for the Jews, you know. They were for strangers and proselytes, anybody that might be there. The cities of refuge were there that those who were guilty of shedding man's blood might go and be free. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, our refuge, came not to save just the Jews only. He came not to condemn the world, but the world in him might have life. And in him, Jew and Gentile alike, black and white alike, bond and free alike, male and female alike, rich and poor, learned and unlearned, may have refuge for their guilty souls. I give thanks to God that Jesus Christ our Lord is a refuge for all cases of sinners as well. Turn back to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Brother Drew said today that there was one time in his life when he shouted. Well, there have been several in mine. This was one of them. First time I read this verse of Scripture, and it really struck my heart. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And notice the next verse. And such were some of you. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He's a refuge for sinners of every kind. No matter how black the sin, no matter how many, no matter how vile, no matter how rebellious, no matter what this world may think of you, no matter if you be the all-scouring of the world, no matter if you be the scum of society, he's the refuge for sinners, for publicans and sinners, such as I am, such as you are. He's a refuge for sinners. Lord Jesus Christ is a refuge that's accessible. He's a fountain opened for cleansing from sin. Oh, I would to God that I had the power, the ability by His Spirit to persuade sinners to turn toward Christ and flee to Him. For He's an open way and there's nothing that stands in the way between you and Christ. It's your stubborn, rebellious will. Nothing else. Lord Jesus Christ is an unchanging refuge as well. These six cities of refuge, they were appointed by God. They were appointed only to be temporary cities of refuge. These cities of refuge have all long since been destroyed. And so will every refuge that men build. But our Lord Jesus Christ is an unchangeable refuge. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is that one who is the same as He always been. He is still in the same place. and he still accomplishes the same things. My father and my mother forsake me, the psalmist says. The Lord will take me up, because you see, he's an unchangeable refuge. Father and mother may forsake their own. Father and mother may forsake that sinful son. Father and mother may, according to the law, take up stones and stone that son. But when my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. He's an unchangeable refuge, for he's a refuge for sinners. Once more, I say that Jesus Christ is the only refuge. There were 6 cities of refuge in the Old Testament. Man who was guilty might flee to any one of the 6 and be safe. But I tell you, there is but 1 city of refuge for sinners. And that city of refuge is Jesus Christ the Lord. There's only 1 refuge whereby your soul can be justified. That's Christ. Only 1 refuge whereby your soul can be sanctified and accepted before God. That's Christ. Only 1 refuge whereby you might have refuge for time and refuge for eternity. It's Christ, the Lord our Savior. Now I want you to see how guilty sinners flee to Christ our refuge. Many refuse to flee to Christ for refuge. They're blind and they don't see their need of Him. And they don't see that He's any refuge at all. They are stubborn and they will not flee to Him. They're self-righteous and they'll not take themselves to Him. But maybe, just maybe, somebody here wants to know how to get to the refuge. I hope so. I hope so. How? How can a guilty, vile, helpless, hell-deserving, wretched sinner like me get to the holy, harmless refuge for safety? Well, I tell you this, if any man ever flees for a refuge, he's going to have to be driven to flee. He won't flee of his own accord. He's got to be made aware that he's in danger. He's got to be made aware that he's in great need. And that's the reason the law was given. It was given to drive men to Christ. It was given to show me, in a sense, of their sin, of their depravity, of their wickedness. It was given to show me in the wrath and torment of God that they might flee for mercy, flee to Christ. Oh, I would to God that He might cause His law this day to prick the hearts of men. And they might be pricked in their hearts and made aware of their sin, made aware of their guilt before God, made aware of God's wrath. Oh, that someone would preach who had the ability by God's power to describe the wrath of God to sinners. Oh, that men would give an ear, that they might hear that God is angry with the wicked every day, and He must punish sin. He must punish iniquity. He must punish transgression. He will by no means clear the guilty. Oh, sinner, I tell you, the wrath of God abides. It abides continually upon you. And one day soon, sooner than you might think, God will sweep you off into an eternal torment of hell because His law demands it and His justice demands it. Oh, if you could see that, you would flee to Christ for refuge. I know folks say that we oughtn't to trust Christ just because we want to be saved from hell. Well, there are better reasons, but I tell you, that's a pretty good one to start with. It's a pretty good one to start with. You fear His wrath. You fear His just indignation. You fear His holy anger. Because one day very soon, your soul will be eternally condemned without hope. Without hope. Perhaps some of you have fled to a refuge. You have fled in fear. But Satan's deceived you. And you fled to some false refuge. And Satan doesn't care what kind of refuge you flee to. So long as you don't flee to Christ. And you find yourself still in danger because of that law. I tell you, my dear friends, that there is no refuge but the Savior. We are all like the prodigal son, you know. When he began to see his condition and be in want, what did he do? Well, he began to feed on the husk that the swine eat. He began to feed on the husk that the swine did. He fed just like all the other hogs that are wallowing in the mire. And he found nothing to help his soul. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. I'm not sure that Dr. Gill's too far off. He says he went and joined himself to a self-righteous preacher, a man who preaches good works and self-righteousness, and he was none bettered for it. I tell you that there is no refuge at Mount Sinai. We all want, first of all, to remedy the case for ourselves, and we look to ourselves and we say, well, I know something's wrong, and I've gone just as low as a man can go, and I've got to turn around. So I'll turn over a new leaf and reform my life and become one who obeys God's law. But we find that we have no strength to do so, and there's no refuge for our souls. And so we say, well, I'll turn to religion. I tell you, in man's religion, there's no refuge. We'll go and find some religious experiences or some religious duties, and we'll be baptized, and we'll come to the ordinances, and we'll try to have a refuge for our souls in religion. I tell you that any religion, even that religion revealed in the Scriptures in its outward form, will do you no good. Is no refuge for your soul. No refuge. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We have no other refuge. Yet it is not enough for the law to drive a man. The Spirit of God must draw sinners to Mount Calvary and reveal Christ, the refuge. The law drives sinners with fear, but the Spirit of God uses the Gospels to draw sinners with hope. You look back to Sinai, and it'll convince you of sin. It'll convict you of sin. But it'll do so and cause you to have the fear of the law. But I'll tell you this. You look over to Mount Calvary. If the Spirit of God's pleased to reveal your refuge there, it'll break your heart over sin. All the difference in the world. Well, do I remember the days of my rebellion, of my evil and of my sin? Well, do I remember how stubbornly and obstinately I opposed my God? And well, do I remember that blessed day when first He revealed to me the Son of God dying in my stead? In evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object struck my sight and stopped my wild career. I saw one hanging on a tree in agonies and blood, who fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Sure, never till my latest breath can I forget that look. It seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience felt and owned the guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins, his blood had spilt, and helped to nail him there. Alas, I knew not what I did, but now my tears are vain. Where shall my trembling soul be hid? For I the Lord have slain. A second look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I die that thou mayst live. The Spirit of God calls his people and he draws them to Christ. Oh, it's not a matter of men being saved against their will. I'll tell you what it is. He takes the Son of God and he shows us his beauty and his glory. He shows us his love and his mercy. He shows us that God's Son suffers and dies in the place of sinners. He shows us His power. And He gently, sweetly, patiently, long-sufferingly, yet powerfully, effectually forces us to Christ. That's right. He brings us by His power so that we want to come and we want to have Him. When the sinner is driven by the fear of the law and drawn by the hope of the gospel, he flees to Christ. Fleeing to Christ implies that we have faith in Him. We believe the report God has given concerning His Son. We believe that He is that one who suffers and dies in the place of sinners. and who lives and reigns in power and glory to give life everlasting to those who trust him. Those who flee to Christ flee to him earnestly. They flee to him making haste, for they realize their danger. Fleeing to Christ implies an unwearied diligence. We flee and we flee to him. We make haste like Zacchaeus and come to the Savior. We flee to Christ in order to lay hold of him. Faith reaches out and lays hold of the Son of God. We have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. We lay hold upon God himself in Christ. We lay hold upon his promises. He promises that he'll not cast out any who come to him. We lay hold upon his righteousness and upon his redemption. Oh, I would to God, my friends, that you would flee to him now. You are now in danger. Your life is short and uncertain. But Christ is a refuge for sinners to flee to and to lay hold of. In the last place, and just quickly, I want to ask this question. Is there anything to encourage sinners like you and me to flee to Christ for refuge? Yes, there is. For you see, God has set him forth as a refuge. And God doesn't do anything without a purpose. He doesn't do anything to mock men. He set Christ forth as a refuge so that men could have a refuge. He invites men to come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He invites sinners, such as we are, to come with our burdened and heavy laden souls and to find rest in him. Yes, there is good reason for you to flee to Christ, because many have fled to him and found refuge for their souls. I fled to him, and I found refuge. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Christ is a refuge to which men have fled and found refuge for their souls. Perhaps he will admit my plea. Perhaps we'll hear my prayer. But if I perish, I will pray and perish only there. I will flee to him, a guilty, weak, and helpless worm. On Christ's kind arms I fall. I fall simply upon him, and that's all my hope. Christ is such a refuge that in him there is a hope set before us. We have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. We have hope in God's counsel of everlasting grace. That counsel whereby he determined to set up a refuge in his Son, whereby he would save guilty sinners. We have hope in God's oath, his promise, swearing that in Christ he will bless us. We have hope in Christ the mediator, who has entered into heaven as our forerunner and our high priest, there to make intercession for us in the presence of God. Oh, I would to God that everyone here would learn to flee to Christ for refuge. If you have fled to him and used him as your blessed refuge, then I trust that you will use this blessed refuge as an anchor for your soul at all times. Oh, our souls are storm-tossed and torn and driven, but we have an anchor. And our anchor is not in ourselves, but it's in him, that solid rock upon whom we're builded. And we have refuge in him, and it keeps our soul steady and steadfast. Children of God, we have fled to him. Let's keep on fleeing to him, pressing toward Christ, turning neither to the right hand nor to the left, pressing on steadily toward our refuge. And one day, soon, he'll come, and we'll see him. And we'll stand before God. Every one of us will stand before God. In that day of judgment, sinner, you will stand before God. And he will slay his enemies. Bring hither mine enemies that would not have me to reign over them, and slay them before me. Oh, but the children of God, we will stand in that day, but we'll stand in our refuge. He is that ark of safety that shall shelter us from the storm of God's wrath. We'll stand before him perfect and complete, accepted in Christ our refuge. We have no other hope. Our Father, make these words effectual for the glory and honor of Christ. I ask that you will be pleased, despite the weakness of the servant, make the word that is preached powerful to the salvation of sinners, to the edification of your people, for Christ's sake. Amen.